Tube. Recorded live.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this one-hour live radio broadcast. And as always, we dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, the great I Am. We also dedicate it to His holy remnant, the believing sons and daughters of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian and related peoples of the world. Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. And notice I did not say Yiddish, ancient Hebrew. Two different languages, two different people. Tonight is the 5th of November, year 2008, the day after the so-called election. The title of our program tonight is The Basic Tenets of Christian Identity, Part 1. And my guest tonight from Georgia is Dan, and welcome to the program, Dan.
Hey, Dan, how are you doing tonight?
In light of what happened yesterday, I guess I'm doing okay. Somewhat shell-shocked, but I'm okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, we kind of knew that was coming anyway, though, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. I'm not really surprised at all. With the condition of the average American and with the political processes that the New World Order crowd, the power elite, have in place, you couldn't get a better candidate than Barack Obama, Hussein Obama, I should say, to lead the charge to destroy sovereign America and bring us in, whether we like it or not, into this one-world community these demonic forces want to create. So he's the perfect guy to do it. He has no loyalties to this country, our culture, certainly our Christian culture, our Christian heritage, and the Christian Caucasian people. He's not part of us. He doesn't have anything to do with us. And the fact that people that are from this land voted for him just tells you how far we have drifted from our roots and our Heavenly Father.
Yeah, what really shocks me is when you look at the map of the who voted for McCain and who voted for Obama, it always shocks me that the North and the Northeast is so liberal. And I know you're from up north, and not everyone up there is like that, but is it really that bad? Are the people up there really that liberal?
Well, before we get into our basic topic for tonight, let me just tell you something. From the state of Michigan, this is typically what happens in this country. You will see the state of Michigan fall under the Democratic banner most of the time. And yet, the vast majority of voters who vote Democratic are in two major cities in Michigan. If you leave those major cities, the rural areas and the small towns of Michigan are as conservative as you can get. The majority of Michiganders are either of German or Scottish heritage. They are very independent-minded. They are very patriotic-minded. But we have a large number of these aliens, these welfare recipient types that Obama panders to, that populate cities like Detroit and Flint and Lansing, and they vote Democratic. They are communists. They are all in favor of this handout scheme. So because of the situation where we have allowed people who are on the public dole to vote, they outvote the vast number of people in the countryside who are very conservative, typically Republican, but at least conservative, but they're outvoted by the welfare recipients in the city.
Yeah. I know Detroit is about, last time I looked on a website called citydata.com, I saw that the city of Detroit was 80% black. So I know that has a lot to do with it. But
oh, absolutely.
Again,
I talked to a gentleman from Columbia. He refers to himself as white Caucasian, but he's from Columbia. He spent 5 hours standing in line waiting to vote in Florida, and he told me that while he was in line waiting to vote, he was the only what appeared to be partially affluent, well-to-do white person in that line. Everybody else was either Latino, Mexican, or black waiting to vote. So now you know why the Founding Fathers said you have to meet qualifications to elect. When we allowed people to be part of the election process who should never have been part of it, this is what you get. And so nobody should be surprised. We've predicted it. Most of us have been on the air or beating the bushes for 25 years. I know I have, because I could see this day coming, telling them that it was a mistake to allow the serpent to come in and convince us to change what the founding fathers had set up. And so now this is what you get. You cannot allow non-Israelite, which means non-Christian Caucasian people, to be part of your government process. It is against the law of the Bible. It is against good sense. It is against what the founding fathers envisioned. And the reason why it's illegal and immoral is what happened yesterday. But anyway, I wanted to get on a couple other things here real quick, Dan. I wanted to quote a verse, or I should say a sentence from one of my favorite movies called V for Vendetta. Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I can think of no reason for forgetting the 5th of November, or something similar to that. I guess I blew the last line there, but... I can think of no reason the 5th of November should ever be forgot. That's the third line. But anyway, I thought it was ironic that today is the 5th of November, and that's one of the main lines in the movie. And if you haven't seen V for Vendetta, I think people should check it out. There's a lot of symbolism in that movie, just as in the movie They Live, a John Carpenter film from the 1980s. Tremendous amount of symbolism in that movie. They Live. Also, Dan, did you notice that our new Mamzer president, Mamzer, by the way, is a Hebrew word which means half-breed, somebody of mixed race, Mamzer. The new Mamzer president has picked Rahm Emanuel as his chief of staff. Let me ask you something there, Dan. If you were a betting man, what ethnicity do you think Rahm Emanuel is?
Middle Eastern, perhaps.
Like Jewish?
Ron, yeah.
Rahm Emanuel. Nobody gets into a position such as President of the United States without tremendous amounts of political pressure, power, and money, especially a guy like Obama, who has absolutely no credentials to be president of this country, none whatsoever. And yet there he sits. So now it's time to pay back those that enabled him to get there. And so now his chief of staff is Rahm Emanuel. I'll be willing to put money on the fact that this guy's Jewish. And you're going to find a lot of Jewish handlers surrounding this president, just as they did the last six presidents of this country that I know of. So here we go. So unbelievable, unbelievable. So anyway, do you have anything else before we get on to our main topic for tonight?
That's about it for me. I'm ready to get started as soon as you are.
Okay, well, let's pick the first thing that you have on your list.
Okay, well, my list was originally entitled The Myths of Judeo-Christianity, and I figured, you know, we could go through these and point out where mainstream Christianity differs from Christian identity. You know, what we teach, or what, you know, what the Bible actually says in the original Greek and Hebrew languages.
Right.
And my first myth is in Judeo-Christianity is that this earth, not this earth age, but you've heard many Judeo-Christians state that this earth itself is 6,000 years old.
Yeah.
Well,
that's not true.
That's totally untrue, because it's been proven through carbon dating that this earth is millions of years old.
Right.
And the Bible never says anything about the earth itself being 6,000 years old. It says in Genesis 1, chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form. Now this word was in verse 2 is actually Strong's Concordance, Hebrew word number 1961, and the word was means became. So the earth became without form and was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, nowhere in those first two verses does it say anything about how old the earth was. It doesn't say anything about it being 6,000 years old. And nowhere throughout Scripture does it state that the earth is 6,000 years old. So that's my first disagreement with Judeo-Christianity.
Right. Well, they misinterpret the word day also. When it talks about how many days it took to create the earth, it's actually a period of time and not a literal 24-hour day.
It's an eon, if I'm not mistaken.
It's eon in the Greek, yes. And eon is even the same word that we use in the English language today. When we say some star is many eons old, it's a lengthy period of time with no exact number given to it. It's just a large period of time. So it just, you know, what boggles my mind, Dan, is how people today can't think of anything. This election proves that people can't think, but they actually don't seem to get that the Bible that we have today has only existed for a very short period of time. It is a compilation of books that the Catholic Church put together, of all people, and said was canon. And these ancient books were written in the originals were written in ancient Hebrew, which is no longer extant. There is no ancient Hebrew in existence today. The Dead Sea Scrolls, most of them are written in block Hebrew, which is a language or an alphabet that was invented after Christ. So even those are not actually ancient Hebrew. And so the best texts that we have for the Old Testament are the Septuagint, which is Greek, and then, of course, the New Testaments were all written in Greek, Aramaic, and then later Greek. So, but none of those were written in English. And yet people today just can't seem to conceive of the fact that this English Bible is a translation of the... It's only the originals that matter.
That's right. There was no King James Bible back during the days of Adam and Eve and Moses. There was no such thing as a King James Bible, and there was no English language back then.
Right. Well, think about it. There wasn't even a King James Bible in the beginning. When the pilgrims came to this country, they used the Geneva Bible. And when King James authorized the production of the King James Bible, they would have nothing to do with it. They considered it a perversion of the true word. And I have a copy of the Geneva Bible, and it's amazing how much different it is. And one of the reasons King James and the so-called progressives of the day did not like the Geneva Bible is because the Geneva Bible had the Geneva Bible notes. And most of these notes helped explain difficult passages, etc. And there was a lot of good information in those notes. And so in order to produce a Bible that did not have these notes, the King James Bible came into being. So the deception was started quite early.
Definitely.
Hey, I'll tell you what, we'll get on to your next tenet. I want to get into the definition of Nakash at some point. And also,
okay,
I want to apologize to you. You did tell me that the myths of Judeo-Christianity is what you wanted to call it, and I went and changed it to the tenets of...
that's okay.
But I apologize for that.
That's all right. As long as we get the point across, I don't care what we call it. So
right,
that's all that matters.
Very good. Let's go to your next point then.
Okay, myth number two of Judeo-Christianity. We're all descended from Adam and Eve.
That's another absolutely false tenet.
A huge lie.
It's a huge lie. Well, we can start tearing that apart. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
One of our listeners tonight has said that Wikipedia says Rahm Emanuel was born in Chicago, 1959. His father is Jerusalem-born Benjamin M. Emanuel. Well, that proves it right there. And he was a member of the Ergun militant Zionist group during the British Mandate of Palestine. So this is the kind of people that our Mamzer half-breed president is already starting to put into the White House. So nothing's going to change for the better, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing is going to get better. It will certainly get worse.
Oh, yeah, you know he'll be surrounding himself with all kinds of Jewish advisors and to advise him on what to do. So, no, nothing's going to change. It's just going to get worse.
Yeah, this is the final shakedown of the United States of America, the Christian Constitutional Republic. Under this guy's tenure in the White House, they hope to fulfill their dream of destroying white Christian America and in its place put a secular humanist state, the United Socialist States of America, with its allegiance to the world government out of Jerusalem. That is exactly what they intend to do within the next 4 years. So, and if you don't think that's what they intend to do, you're just crazy. So where were we now? We were talking about the descendants of Adam and Eve. One way we can prove that that's not true is the fact that Adam and Eve, historically and archaeologically, the white man has only been on this planet for approximately 6 to 7,000 years. There is no missing link to the Caucasian man. He's only been here a short period of time, whereas there are archaeological records that go back, for example, the blacks in Africa, a minimum of 70,000 years, and many of the other races, much longer than the white man has been here. And not only that, when Cain was thrown out of the garden for murdering his brother, he went to the east and founded a city. Now, Dan, I got to ask you, if a guy was banished from the garden and he's the only man on the planet, why in the world would he build a city?
That's right. There were already people here.
Exactly.
That proves it right there.
The trees in the garden is symbolic of people. Everything in the story of the Garden of Eden is symbolic. The trees that Adam and Eve were amongst were peoples that were already here. And their commandment was not to eat of the fruit of the trees, meaning not to partake sexually with them. And the Hebrew words like a call that mean to eat also mean to seduce or lay with. Just as in English, many of our words have different meanings, the word a call has different meanings, and you'd interpret it depending on the context it's used in. So when God was giving the commandments to Adam and Eve not to intermingle with the trees in the garden, he used the word a call. That meant not to procreate or have sexual intercourse with these foreign races. Is your research come up the same way, Dan?
Yes, and I also think it's important to go back and prove in Scripture where the other races existed before Adam was created. And if we go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 25, which states, "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Now, this word beast, I don't know if we've touched on this before, and you probably have in the past, but this word beast refers to all the living beings on the face of the earth. We're not just talking four-legged beasts here. This word beast is actually a bad translation, and it means all the other living beings on the earth. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it means the creations.
Right.
Created beings.
Pastor, hello? Yeah, this is Gary in San Diego. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was trying to call earlier when you guys were talking about this fellow that's going to be the chief of staff. On the radio today, as we were listening, they were talking about this guy. He was with the Clintons in his staff, and the congressman, one of the congressmen was talking about him. Said this guy's rude, nasty, gets right in your face. He's little, and he's nasty. He has no friends. He chases people away from him. You know, he wants to. He's sort of aggressive. In other words, wants to even physically get, you know, in fisticuffs types of activity with you. And the guy said, and he is Jewish. So that's the type of guy that he picked to be his chief of staff. A regular, from what I can understand, a regular jerk.
Well, that's typical. That's typical of, especially when these Edomite Jews attain any kind of wealth or power, they become even more obnoxious than they are normally. So that stands to reason. But again, I'm looking at this election as speeding up the process. So maybe this is a good thing. This will speed up the final period of time before the judgment. I say hallelujah.
Well,
this guy is an absolute antichrist. He is anti-American, antichrist, anti-Christian, anti-white, anti-anything moral to do with this country. He is the perfect president to usher in the final 3.5 years of tribulation before the gong sounds and Yahweh lowers the hammer. And
well, didn't we pray for that, Pastor? Haven't we been praying for the Savior to come? But he says this has to happen before I can come. So he now has it going on. You know, and a lot of people forget that this guy's mother hated whites, laid with a black man, had a mamzer, and of course the black man had no feeling for the whites. So then after this mamzer grew up, he married a woman who hates whites. She's even said so in some of her talks. He went to a church where they hated whites. Now the whites, of course, are so brilliant, they put this guy that says he hates whites out of his own mouth, his wife out of her mouth, out of his pastor's mouth. They really don't believe him, you know, that he's saying that. They put him in to rule over them.
Well, he's not my president. Yahweh is my king. He's my lawgiver. He's my judge. And he will be my savior. Isaiah 33, verse 22.
Well, this guy's already said he hates us. His mother didn't. His mother hated her own people.
So
we've got a lot of hate going on in that family. And now we're putting these black people into the White House. We're going to turn the White House into a black house.
We need to get back on track with our topic, but you're right, and shame on us. We've allowed this to happen, and there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Well, I just wanted to basically tell you that guy is chief of staff. I wanted to share that with you because you guys were talking about it a little bit. I already heard he is Jewish, and he's terrible. He the congressman doesn't, for instance, doesn't believe in what he's talking about, and he wants to do it. He'll actually get into the congressman's face, be ready to get physical, in other words, fisticuffs. That's what this guy's all about.
We need that. We need people to wake up to what these people are really like. I'm tired of them pretending to be my friend, whether it's black, Jew, brown, pink, orange, green, doesn't matter. All pretending to be our friends as long as they can get our money and live in our land. They don't like us. They don't want to assimilate with us. It's against laws of God and nature. They shouldn't be here. If we obeyed the Bible, they wouldn't be here. So we've committed this sin. We've allowed them in here. We've deluded ourselves into believing that they're going to be good people and assimilate when God only knows that is impossible. So we need this. We need these arrogant SOBs to show their true colors so that the true Christians, the true Israelites, are going to wake up, and one-third of all of Jacob Israel is waking up at this moment.
There's only one thing I want to say, then I'm going to hang up, and that is we were, in this country, supposed to allow Europeans to come in, and these Europeans had to assimilate into our culture. We did not assimilate into their culture from Germany or England or France. They had to assimilate. And anybody else that come into our country, they were to assimilate into our culture, meaning our religion and the way we eat, all the things we do. That's what they had to do. But now that we had Jacob Javits and his kind come in, they make the statement that we have to assimilate into their culture so they can come into our land. That's new. You know, we that are citizens here have to assimilate into other countries' cultures, third world, when they come into our land. In other words, we have to become tolerant of the Muslims, tolerant of the Jews, tolerant of the Hindus, tolerant, you know, wait a minute, the Buddhists, wait a minute. They're supposed to assimilate into our culture. What happened here?
I know. We got a lot of things wrong.
Okay, I'm going to let you go on because you guys are on a real exciting topic. I can tell that. And Dan from Atlanta. It was just getting exciting.
Okay. All righty.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless, Gary.
Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I think we had left off at Genesis chapter 1, verse 25. I was documenting where in Scripture where the all the other races were created before the white race was created.
That's correct.
And Genesis 1:25 proves that, because this word beast is actually a bad translation. It actually means all of creation, all the living beings on the earth. So that's 1:25, and then we move down to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, where it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Now this word man is the Hebrew word number 120 in the Strong's, and it means ruddy, ruddy-complected. So it's my take on this, that this is when the ruddy-complected or white man was created. It was in Genesis 1:27.
Correct. In fact, the word translated beast in Genesis 1:25 is the word kai, and it just means to be alive, to be a creation. And it can even mean vegetation. So
it can mean any of the creation.
Creation, right. Anything that has the spirit of life, the spark of life in it that's put in there by our Creator, falls under the term kai. And so, you know, here again, the English translation of the Bible is probably the poorest translation imaginable.
Right.
In fact, my dream has always been to put together a coalition of elders of Jacob Israel who have done the research and come up with a Christian identity Bible, because I have looked at so many translations of the Bible, including the Farrar Fenton Bibles in Basic English, Interlinear Bibles, etc. Not one single Bible have I found in English that gets the Genesis story correct in the Garden of Eden. I haven't found one yet. So
no.
I believe we need to make one. And I'm hoping the Father will put the resources together to do that. We need a Bible that tells the truth, because none of these English translations are accurate. So, okay, you got the next tenet?
I think we've proven there, though, that the white race was created after all the other races, and then Adam wasn't actually formed. The man Adam wasn't actually formed until Genesis chapter 2, verse 7.
That's correct.
Let me read that real quick. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So we see right here, this was the only creation that Yahweh breathed his the breath of life into. He did not do that to any of the other creation, not to the beast of the field or beast of the earth, and not to the to the white man that was created in chapter 1, verse 27.
Yes, Adam kind is the only race on the planet that carries within their bosom the spirit of Yahweh. They're the only ones. People don't like hearing that. That's too bad. I really don't care. The mere fact is, if you do the research, Dan, you can attest to this, who has brought law and order on this planet? Who has invented almost all of the major inventions during man's presence on this earth? Who created all of the magnificent seven wonders of the world, if you want to call it that way? A lot of people say, well, the Egyptians did it, or the Persians did it. Well, who ruled in those regions of the world during the creation of these great and wondrous things, including the Great Wall of China? Who ruled in those areas? It was white people.
That's right.
The
and
early Khans of China were white people. The pharaohs of Egypt were white people.
Yeah, civilization started in the Middle East. I mean, the white race created civilization in the Middle East, and then migrated over the Caucasus Mountains and became known as Caucasians. Just because there are dark-skinned peoples in the Middle East now doesn't mean that there were dark-skinned people in that region many, many years ago.
Exactly. I even talked to a fellow I worked with back in the 1990s, and he was Greek, and he was native-born to America, but his dad came from Greece and started a restaurant or something like that in the eastern part of the United States. And he and I got in a discussion about this, and he was rather dark-skinned. He had real dark eyes. And he was the one who told me that the original Greeks were blonde hair and blue-eyed people. He said, but our people have mixed with Mediterranean peoples over the years, and so now you get what I am, which is a mixture. And he didn't have any guilt about it, or he didn't make a big deal about it. He just stated it as matter-of-factly that, yeah, the original Greeks were blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasians, Adamites.
Yeah, I mean, there's no big shame in it. It's just a fact.
It's just a fact, exactly. The only people who get uptight about it are white people.
Yeah.
They are so brainwashed, they don't even want to talk about it. They feel guilty even discussing racial matters.
That's right.
We are so brainwashed. I'll tell you, it's unbelievable. I think the Father has got a lot of work to do to bring us out of what we got going on right now. It's just it's astounding to me that a people who had so much to start with have been reduced to basically servants of the hinder races when Yahweh put Adamites here to be in charge. But then again, he did tell us at the end of the age, everything would be upside down. So
right.
Good would be called evil. Evil would be called good. Sweet would be called bitter. Bitter sweet. In other words, from that, you're supposed to take the fact that everything is upside down. And so these are more signs of the times that this age is about to end. And at the end of this age is a glorious time for Yahweh's people. It's not so glorious for these heathens and these Mamzers and these Edomite Jews and other people who are wrecking this planet.
Well, you know what's really strange about white people is, well, I don't mean to keep harping on this election, but, you know, you see these black people, they all stick together. And that's one thing I respect out of them. They all stick together. They voted for Obama because he was black. And why can't white people stick together like that? Why do we always have to stab each other in the back?
Well, Dan, when I was a boy, they did. So it's not been that many years. And I'll tell you, you know what did it? Television. Television,
yeah.
And movies. The combination of those two major and very powerful forms of media were the tools that the sons and daughters of Satan used to convince white people to abandon their culture and heritage and adopt this New World Order mentality of everybody's the same, race doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. All the guilt belongs on the white race, which is totally, totally ridiculous. But the media, the visual media is very powerful, and visual media has only been available to the Antichrists in very recent years, within my lifetime. So I have literally lived through the advent of television and just after the advent of movies. So in my lifetime, I have watched the effects of these visual media on our people. And it is tremendously bad, very bad. And it goes back to the very makeup of man, because man, all through the ages, man understood that he could not believe everything he read in print or he heard people talking about things he heard. But what he could rely on was what he saw with his own eyes. For thousands of years, if you could see it with your own eyes, then it was believable. And so the enemies of Christ and our people learn to use this electronic media, which creates images. At where have we heard about the image of the beast, Book of Revelations? It can create an image, and these images go into the brain and they brainwash our people, because those thousands of years of conditioning that what you see is real is what's working against us now. Our people seem to have cognizant dissonance in the fact that they do not understand that what they're seeing on the boob tube and on the screen down at the movie theater is not reality.
That's right.
Hey, I got a caller. One of the listeners here wants us to explain why we call him Yahweh. Do you want to handle that, or you want me to do it?
Well, anywhere where you see in the scriptures, you see the word Lord in capital letters, L-O-R-D. That means that's his sacred name is Yahweh. And in the original Hebrew, if I'm not mistaken, there were no vowels, so it's actually Y-H-V-H. In the original Hebrew. Is that correct, Dan?
Yeah, in their written texts, there are no vowels. Many years after the original texts were wrote, somebody came back and put what they call vowel points, little dots over certain consonants, and that told you what vowel sound with it. But you're right, in the beginning, like my name would be just D-N, and Yahweh was, you're correct, it was Yod-Heh, and Vahe, those four consonants. But we get the down to this age, we do know that Yod-He was pronounced Yah, because we have a Hebrew word that has been passed down to us from the days of Adam that is still used today, and that is Hallelujah. Hallelujah is an ancient Hebrew word which means all praise Yah, because his shortened name, just like your name, Daniel, my name is Daniel, our shortened name is Dan. Well, Yahweh is shortened to Yah. So when you have Hebrew words like Hallelujah, they didn't say Hallelujah, they said Hallelujah, because many times he was referred to as Yah, because Yah means I am. So when he talked to Moses on Mount Sinai and gave him the Ten Commandments, and Moses said, who do I say sent me? He said, tell them I am sent you. Tell them Yah sent you. Or in the Greek language, then it was ego emi haon. Ego emi haon means I am the one. And for our Fenton's research even proved that out. So his name literally means, I am the eternal one, I am the ever-existing one, or just shortened, I am. And that's where we get the word Yah and Yahweh. I hope that explains it for the listener that wanted to know. If there's any more you need to know about Yahweh, just write in.
All right. I was going to go over this, we were discussing how we were all descended from Adam and Eve. I think it might be good to go over the actual, who we are descended from, that there are, separate the sons of Satan from the sons of Adam and go through that.
Okay.
I guess we can start with chapter 3, verse 1 in Genesis, where it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Now this serpent, we're not talking about a literal snake here. The serpent is one of Satan's names. And you can document that by going to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And again, we're not talking, as you stated earlier, Dan, we're not talking about literal trees. The trees are figurative. They're talking about people. So what God is telling Adam and Eve is that you shall not have any type of sexual relations with any of these other living beings, these other races.
Right.
And in verse 2 it says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, a lot of people might think that, what do you mean die? They ate of the tree and, you know, they were still living. Well, no, they were actually created to be immortal. And
right.
they may not have died right away, but they did die many years later. And
yeah.
this word, it says, you shall not eat of it. Now, there might be some, I know there's been probably a little controversy over what this word eat means.
Well,
but I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, the word akal has many meanings, and eat is one of them, but when referring to people, it is talking about cohabiting or having sexual relations or seduction. So to properly translate that, that's what you need to keep in mind. It has nothing to do with fruit, and it never even says an apple. Everybody says they show pictures of Adam and Eve with an apple. The apple is never mentioned even in the English versions of the Bible. It just says fruit. And in the Hebrew, the word fruit mentioned in these passages is exactly the same as in English today when you refer to the fruit of somebody's labor. So if I'm saying I'm hungry, I'm going to eat some fruit, well, obviously that word is translated as apples, pears, oranges, etc. If I said Dan from Georgia has rotten fruit in his activities or what he stands for, obviously I'm not talking about apples, oranges, and pears. I'm talking about the produce of your activity, the things that you stand for. And the ancient Hebrew word was exactly the same. So the translators put the word fruit in there when they should have said the results of their actions. So they partook
right.
of the fruit. When Adam partook of the fruit also, it meant that he also racially intermixed with the foreigners, the aliens that were amongst the white people there at the time. So, you know, it's just amazing. And I've got some more information on Nakash, by the way. Everybody thinks of a snake in the Garden of Eden. That's another lie. That's another myth. There was no snake slithering around in a tree. Nakash is a man. The word is Strong's number 5175, pronounced Nakash. I've got Easton Bible Dictionary says here that more than it talks about poisonous snakes, but it also says that the Hebrew word referred to the poisonous character of the serpent, and it is symbolically used of a deadly, subtle, malicious enemy. Enemy as in two-legged enemy, all right? And that's exactly what Nakash is talking about, a very subtle, malicious, evil person. So the Nakash that whispered and told Eve that she could be like God unto herself, it was not a snake. Snakes can't talk, ladies and gentlemen. They've never been able to talk. All right? No wonder some people that have high IQs think the Bible is a comic book. I've heard very intelligent people refer to it that way. Oh, that's just a big comic book. Well, with such stupid things in there as snakes talking to women and that the punishment of their sin for talking to them and eating of a fruit out of a forbidden tree is to have painful childbirth, I mean, anybody with any reasoning ability at all would say that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. But if you read the correct translation, it all makes perfect sense. Eve's punishment for sexual sin was to have painful childbirth. That makes sense because the serpent that she laid with, and that's what she did, because even in the New Testament, when the New Testament writers referred back to what Adam and Eve did in the garden, they used Greek words talking about sexual sin. Not some snake saying, hey, take a bite of this apple. That's ridiculous. Totally
well, Dan,
ridiculous.
If we read verse 6, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, this word desired can mean lust. It's the strongest word number 2530 in the Hebrew, and it means to lust. So there's more proof right there.
Exactly, exactly.
We go to verse 7 in Genesis chapter 3, it says, and the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked. Now, if you ate a piece of fruit, how would that make you think you were naked?
Exactly.
And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, why would they sew fig leaves? To cover the parts of their body that they had sinned with.
Exactly.
And so there's
the proper translation of these words, folks, the whole Bible opens up into a wonderful book of a lot of knowledge and a lot of things to teach you what's going on in this world. This world is nutty right now. I mean, it is completely nutty. And part of the nuttiness is the fact that we don't have preachers and teachers out there telling us the truth of the Scripture. And it says in Proverbs and other places, my people suffer from a lack of vision, and other verses say from a lack of knowledge or truth. And that's what's happening today. These white, deluded people who voted for and believe in this Mamzer Obama are a perfect example of that. They have lost the vision of who they are, thanks to these lying preachers and pastors in these churches today. They are the most venal people on this planet. I can't wait for the day that Yahweh rounds them up and burns them. I have no compassion for these lying preachers today. None. They need to burn. And thank God he's going to do it. The Scripture says so. They will be hunted down and executed. That's how serious their lying is. Because look at the hell on earth we've got because of these deluded people called Christians running around worshiping Jews, for one thing, when Jews are the enemies of Christ, and they're worshiping half-breeds, which is an abomination in God's law. And I realize that they have nothing to do with it because it was their parents' sin that created them, but that doesn't change the fact that a person of mixed breed is an abomination. No different than when you make a mule. You mix a horse and a donkey and you get a mule. A mule is an aberration of nature. It should not exist. Now, I got some people writing in, Dan. They want to know the history of the word Jesus. And again, this creates a lot of confusion. People wonder why that we say the word Jesus is not his name, because Jesus is not his name. First of all, the word that's translated Jesus in the Greek text is Jesus. Jesus, okay? Those letters in the Greek language are their interpolation of Yahweh. They put the Greek letters Yah saves, all right? Jesus means Yah or Yahweh saves. And all the Scripture tells us that Yahweh is our Savior, nobody else. So this name, Jesus, means Yah saves. The Hebrew word that means the exact same thing is Yahshua, which is our current word, Joshua. So when Jesus walked the earth, he did not have a unique name like Jesus. He had a very common name, similar to Joshua today. That is why they refer to him in the Greek texts as Jesus Christos. Christos is the same word as the Hebrew Messiah, meaning anointed one. So to differentiate yet the Joshua who walked the streets of Bethlehem and Palestine in the days of Christ, to differentiate him from all the other people who were called Joshua, they called him Joshua Christos, or Jesus Christos, meaning the anointed Joshua, the one we have been waiting for, Emmanuel, which means God with us. The word Jesus is actually a German word, and I have some German Bibles that were lent to me and I actually found them in there. Because in the German language, the letter J is called Jot, and it is pronounced like a Y, exactly the way Jesus in the Greek is. So the letters J-E-S-U-S in the German language are the letters that the Germans needed to put together to pronounce the word Jesus. So in the German Bibles, J-E-S-U-S is exactly like the Greek letters that were put together to simulate Yeshua. And the Greek letters were pronounced Jesus, Yahweh saves. And the German word was pronounced Jesus also. But when English-speaking people got a hold of German Bibles and saw the letters J-E-S-U-S, they kept those letters and transfixed them into their English texts. But the pronunciation in the English language is Jesus. So the letters J-E-S-U-S have some root in truth, but the pronunciation is completely wrong. There is no Jesus. In fact, the J sound in the English language, J sound, does not exist in any ancient language. So Jerusalem was not pronounced Jerusalem, it was Yerusalem. The J has a Y sound. Jeremiah was Jeremiah. Joshua was Yahshua. Do you see what I'm saying here? So that is the origin of the word Jesus. It's an English pronunciation of a German word which was used to simulate the word used in the Greek manuscripts of the New Testament. Does that make sense, Dan?
You're the man, Dan. It sounds good to me.
Well, that's the history of it. I've done a lot of research on it. I've even given some lectures on it. That's where it came from. If anybody wants to dispute that, I'd be glad to give them some airtime and or talk to them or email with them or whatever, but you're not going to win the argument because I've done the research. That's exactly where it comes from, and that's the end of that.
I wanted to get onto this real quick so we could talking about the two separate seed lines in Genesis.
All righty.
We could go down, let's see, we left off, and the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. That was verse 7 of chapter 3 of Genesis. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I had commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me. And this word beguiled is the good one. In the Hebrew, it's Strong's Concordance, word number 5377. It means to seduce. So we can see here that Eve was seduced by the serpent, by Satan.
Correct.
verse 14 says, And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all thy days of thy life. And here's the big kicker right here, verse 15, which proves that there is a separate seed, two seed lines. And this is the Lord God speaking, I will put enmity means hatred, between thee, he's speaking to Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now this word seed is an interesting word. It doesn't mean we're not talking fruit seeds, apple seeds, anything like that. We're talking posterity. So what he's saying here is I will put enmity, hatred. This is put by the Lord God. This isn't just something we dream up. This hatred was put here between the two seeds by Yahweh himself. He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed or posterity. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And
yep.
This is prophecy right here. When Christ was nailed to the cross and his heels were bruised, but in the end, Satan's going to get his head bruised, and so will all his children. And we can read about that in Obadiah 13.
18.
So there's the proof right there that there's two seed lines, and that we're not all descended from Adam and Eve. That there are two seed lines. This other seed line was the actually Eve had fraternal twins. She had Cain and Abel, and we can go on to that if you'd like to do that, Dan.
Well, we only got about 5 minutes left. If you want, we can save that for the next part.
Okay.
If we get time here, we will, though. But I wanted to read the definition right out of Strong's for the Hebrew word zerah, which is number 2233. And it says seed, offspring, semen, offspring, descendants, posterity, children. So these people that constantly want to spiritualize things in the Bible, well, I'm going to tell you something. You can spiritualize yourself right into a pine box. And that's what a lot of people are going to wake up to in the next 4 years. But this enmity is literally between a seed line of Yahweh and a seed line of Satan. And it was referred to in the Dead Sea Scrolls as the children of light versus the children of darkness. And Christ himself referred to these people in the book of John as of their father, Satan, their father, the devil. So the devil has a seed line on this planet, and they are wrecking this planet, and they are about to try to conquer the sovereign United States of America and destroy this Christian land and this Christian religion once and for all, because they hate us. They hate us with a perfect hatred.
And so, they're good at it, too. They're very sneaky. They don't get in positions of power. They get in positions of advisors.
Yeah, they like to stay in the back in the dark and pull off their deeds. Hey, real quick, I want to make an announcement. I have a very special guest going to be on this Sunday at 2 o'clock with me, retired police officer Greg Evenson with the Kansas City State Police. He has also previously worked in the security service, Secret Service. He is going to be our guest, and we're going to talk about law enforcement and military personnel today and how those folks feel about what's going on. So it's going to be quite an eye-opener. I hope everybody can join us at 2 p.m. this coming Sunday right here on By Yahweh's Design.
Sounds great.
We got about 3, 4, or 5 minutes here. If you want to, do you want to try to get that last part in?
Yeah, I'll go real quick with it. Let's jump to Genesis chapter 4.
Okay.
Where we go to verse 1, it says, "And Adam knew his wife, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." Now, this word man here is referred to as Ish. And if I'm not mistaken, this means not a good person. Am I right about that, Dan?
Well, Ish is just a male whatever. Ish is just a male. Could be a male anything.
Okay.
That is where we get the term like Irish and British.
Okay.
The Ish on the end is from the Hebrew language meaning people, the people of Ireland, the people of Britannia, that sort of thing.
I got you. And in verse 2 it says, "And she again bare his brother Abel." Now this word again means that she continued in labor, meaning she had twins. She had fraternal twins, and this is possible. She had twins from two different fathers, one father being Satan and the other father being Adam. And Abel was the keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And
right.
In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And this is where the jealousy came in, that Cain and he eventually went on to kill his brother Abel. And a lot of people might think, well, that's not fair of Yahweh. But if you see that Abel brought the firstlings of his flock, and Cain didn't put that much effort into his offering. And, of course, the genetic makeup of the two explains the reason for that.
Right. True Israelites are loving, caring, sharing people. That is a lady in one of the congregations I spoke to one time said that to me, and I thought that was a perfect analogy. Loving, caring, sharing people, and that's what they are. That doesn't mean we're doormats. It doesn't mean we're going to allow you to violate God's law and impose upon us atheistic humanism in place of God's law. No, we're going to fight as Christian soldiers. We're going to fight because that's our God-given right. We're going to fight for our families, our property, and for our country. Anybody who tries to take this land over, that is what every veteran has sworn to do in this country. So, well.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yeah, so I think we've proven the point that we are not all descended from Adam and Eve. A black person cannot come from a white person or a yellow person, and we've also proven that there are two separate seed lines, and there might be some white people who look white but aren't really white, but are the sons of Satan himself, the descendants of the serpent.
Exactly. I tell you, I'm having difficulty with trying to run this board and keep up with text and talk and keep up with notes and switching screens to my research material. I mean, I apologize for that. Sometimes it gets to be like a juggling act. But the reason I brought up the loving, caring, sharing thing is because those are the attributes of the Adamic people, and they are not. It doesn't mean other people can't have those attributes, but as a people, as a general people, those are our attributes. And if you look at the history of the pure white race, that is their heritage, that is their benchmark of their civilizations. And so, you know, I just wish people would understand that. And again, this is not hatred of other races and other people. Yahweh made them and put them here. They have a purpose. However, we are never, ever, ever, ever supposed to mix with them sexually. We're supposed to have very limited social mixing with them, mostly just to do commerce and then go our separate ways. And we are never, ever, ever to allow them to have a position of authority over us. And so these are sins. And most of the Bible deals with the people called Jacob Israel, the nation of Israel. That's us, you and me as a people. Wherever we go, that is the nation of Israel. The Bible does not deal with individuals and this modern-day churchianity thing about spirituality. It does not care about that. Yahweh is not going to sit around worrying about whether you read a Playboy magazine. The modern-day church wants to make you to feel guilty about everything about you, so you'll come down and feel guilty and put money in the plate as if that preacher is going to absolve you. That is not what Yahweh cares about, ladies and gentlemen. He gave us laws. He expects us as a people to live according to those laws. This modern-day church world is sickening with what it teaches. It means absolutely nothing. They're just a social club. The things that Yahweh truly cares about are being completely ignored in the so-called Judeo-Christian church world. Do you think he's enamored with people like Jimmy Swaggart strutting around stage with his Rolex watch and his $5,000 suits, holding up the polluted King James Bible and shouting to the crowds that it's the inerrant word of God? Do you think he cares about that? Or that you attend those kind of stupid sermons? We are violating virtually every tenet of his commandments and statutes and judgments, every single one of them. And very few people seem to even care. That is why you're going to see the judgment come upon this country and this planet very soon, because Yahweh cannot contend with our disobedience much longer. We are mocking him. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. The person, the entity that created us, we, his creations, the puny little things that we are mocking our Creator. I'm shocked that he hasn't destroyed us already. We're about out of time, Dan. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
That's about it for tonight. I still got a long list here, so we got plenty of shows to tackle the rest of it, I'm sure.
Do you want to schedule another one for a week from tonight for part two?
Sounds great.
All right. This Sunday at 2 o'clock, Greg Evenson will be our special guest, and Wednesday at 8 p.m., Dan will be back with us for the basic tenets of Christian identity, or the myths of Judeo-Christianity, if you will. Part number two, Dan, Yahweh bless your heart and keep you strong and protect you, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Dan. Yah bless.
Yah bless everybody who listened in. And, folks, keep those prayers going. Prayers have much, much power when they are spoken to the Father from the heart of a true believer. Not these churchgoers. A true believer's prayers availeth much. Do not forget that powerful weapon. Keep those prayers going for your loved ones, for the condition of our country. Pray 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. And we do covet your prayers for this ministry, and that you would keep us in the prayers, that we do the job and do it right, and keep this truth going out to the lost sheep of the house of Jacob Israel. Yahweh bless each and every one of you, and hallelujah.